ladies' shiur Sunday afternoon. Derech Hashem, shiur number 63, we'll call it. And it's Chafei Tammuz, July 8th. And we're doing Derech Hashem at the very end of the second section, the last parak. Parak Shmini, the end of the second section of Derech Hashem. So we started the first paragraph, and Ramchal is talking in general. I mean, this whole section is about Hashgacha Pratis, Hashgacha Hashem. Different prokim deal with different aspects, and this last parak also deals with like a more general aspect of Hashem's Hashgacha. He talked about specific aspects of it, vis-a-vis people, vis-a-vis the world, vis-a-vis Israel, vis-a-vis the Goyim. Now he's talking mamish in general, as we'll see. That's what the last parak is. Mimashi, and we'll go over quickly the first, very quickly. Mimashi bochinod, the beginning of the eighth parak. And mimashi bochinod b'hashgachos yisbarach shemo. We talked about these things last time at length. Whatever there is, whatever we saw to talk about. Another thing that we see about Hashem's Hashgacha is that it's fair and just, and it works with a Kav Hadin, where Yos Yisod Kol Sidrei HaHashgacha U'Drachecha Yosher HaMishpot, fairness, the Kav Hadin. Hashem allowed us and gave us this DNA, this Hergish of fairness, and Hashem is Yashar v'Nemon. B'chinyan Shneimar, he quotes other psukim, Shevet Mishar, Shevet Malchusecha. Mishar is straight, glatt, not arbitrary, not whimsical. Because of Melech Mamishpat Yahabet Aretz. So that's one angle. But then everything would be din, everything would be mishpat, and maybe we know from Rashi and Brachos that the world couldn't exist with pure mishpat. So Hashem had to make an adjustment, so to speak. It was all planned, of course. Hashem doesn't make adjustments that pop up, but He wants us to understand that this is the way it should be, and then there's a midus harachamim. But that's important for us to know, that we exist through rachamim, but the foundational engine is mishpat. By knowing that the foundational by realizing that the foundation is mishpat, so we develop our own sense of mishpat. There's right and there's wrong, and there's char and there's onesh. And, you know, we can't just cut corners and say, well, Hashem will overlook this. Ain't the work there. It's not, no such thing. On the other hand, there's rachamim, and we wouldn't exist, we wouldn't be able to hang in there without rachamim. And that's, first of all, it's instructive to us to act the same way, that there's din and there's rachamim. And also, it makes us beholden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is why Chazal Vavah says in so many places that no man could say that he deserves a reward, he deserves Olam Haba, everything is b'chesed, because our whole hanging in there is b'chesed, because the whole system is based on chesed, because or else we wouldn't make it. So it creates a debt of gratitude towards Hashem. That's just two reasons that come to mind. And that's what he says in this next paragraph. Although he's Malkeinu, he's a judge, and everything is Yashar, Kelamun of Ein Ovel, but he's also Avinu. And we know, and the Ramchal's basic foundation of the creation of the world is that Hashem wanted to be Meitiv. And if everything is, you know, din, well, there's still Hatava, because he didn't have to create us in the first place. And now that he created us, we can get into Olam Haba and bond with him for all of eternity. Which is pretty good. And that's a hatava. But Ramchal now discusses other hashlochot, other ramifications of Hashem wanting to be made. Vinehu oeves pruav, ka'av oeves b'no. So you say, well, then why does he punish us? He says he punishes us the way every parent should punish a child, because that's the way they're mechanech them. Ela mishitama avatzma, because Hashem loves us. Roy shei yaser oves b'no, the father, the parent, who punishes the child, hopefully, is doing it out of love, because he wants to be mechanech his child how to act properly. If it's not like that, we got a problem. But this is the way, it's the throwaway pasuk in Chumash, is v'yodata hayom ki sheka'asher yaser ishes b'no, Hashem alakecha miyasareka, Hashem is punishing you like a father punishes a son. So we know that Hashem is not angry. Hashem is not getting back revenge. Hashem is not, doesn't have to show us who's boss. So, and that's how the pasuk assumes a parent would act, would be the same way. But sometimes the Gemara says, sometimes you have a situation where something is set up as an example to learn from, but that isn't so simple to us at all. We don't know about that. But by setting it up as an example to learn from, we actually end up learning too. Like, here's a good example. The Torah says, oh, Hashem's punishing you like a father punishes a son. So the father punishing the son is like the melamed. It's trying to teach us how Hashem punishes us. But really it ends up being the lamed. It ends up, there's a lesson here. That's how a father has to punish the son, which to many people would be a chiddush. And that you should only punish your son to teach him and out of love, etc. V'nimtza, so Hashem's mishpat is love, is a love-induced mishpat. It's not a blind, chas v'shalom, obedience to a system. It says, oh, you did this, you got to go to jail for 10 years, sorry. We have to punish you. It's not. It's the love of a father that is being mechanic the child. It's coming from love. The smitings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yisurim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not makas oyehu mismakim, not from an enemy, not taking revenge, chas v'shalom. So that's what we have to feel if we are on the subject of Hashem's punishment. But the ulam, it was not really but, and therefore it follows also, bishorish there, with this principle, no lodim shnei inyonim. There are two other ramifications. You know, this is context. Hashem's punishment, Hashem's mishpat, is not like a blind judge who has to follow the law books, but it's a fatherly love that wants to teach us how to, and the system is set up that way, that if you do something wrong, you get punished, and that's supposed to have a pedagogical effect, to teach you that it's wrong, to teach you not to do it. But there's, so first of all, that's the whole hashkafa of that. But then there are two other, I call that a hashlacha. But that's really a hashlacha, because Hashem loves us and he's a tov and he only wants to be mative to us. So al karchach, his punishment, is that of a father punishing a child out of love. But that's really more, it's more than a hashlacha, tozah. This is something we have to know. This is like the principle itself. Now the he says there's two hashlachot now. Well, the mishor is there from the fact that when Hashem punishes us, it's coming from a place of love. No lodim shnei anyanim. That has two hashlachot. Ha'echad shehamusar atzmo yiyah memutuk v'lo kosher v'achzori. It softens the blow. When a father wants to teach a child, so he doesn't pull out all stops and beat the child up. Hopefully not. That's not the purpose. The purpose isn't to win this boxing match. The purpose is to teach him, and if you can accomplish it by hurting him less, you will. It's true, sometimes Amisov just went through a Holocaust. So obviously sometimes you have to be patched really, really hard to get the message. But in general, it would, okay, there's always exceptions and there's always ramifications, but in general, it would tend to always lessen the punishment. As we see, even the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed is considered by Chazal a lessening of the punishment. Instead of Klal Yisrael being destroyed, Hashem turned to his house and he destroyed his house in anger and exile. Oh, not really angry, well, that's how we talk. And he exiled Bnei Yisrael, but that was less than destroying Bnei Yisrael. Gemara talks about if it would have gone on for two more years, Kaminyan Ven Hoshantem, it would have been really even worse. So that's number one. Ki Ava Atzma Tzimzog Esadin Barachmin. And I think in our personal lives, many times, if you're able to see it, it's a big bracha, that even when we feel that Hashem is chastising us or doing something to us that seems to be unpleasant, but it's accompanied by a little kiss also, a little chizuk also. It's, you know, you have... usually people experience that and they have to appreciate it. When it happens, they have to see it. Right? Someone could have be suffering from an illness, but Hashem maneuvers that there's someone there to pay the bills. Because it could have been worse. It could have smashed the whole finances of the house. That's what they say about Yosef. That's why there was besamim on his way down to Egypt. That's one pshat. That there were besamim on the way down to Egypt to sort of give him chizuk to show him that Hashem is with him. The Hashemi, and another ramification of the Yisurim being a result of Ahava and love. So lefamim, sometimes, chesod tzricha lekach, when Hashem feels it's appropriate. Yavur ha'odim baruch l'ashur ha'odim l'gamri. Hashem says, forget the whole thing. Let's move on. V'ineg barachmim, total rachmim. Now this is not a vitur. What would we call it? We'd call it that Hashem feels that maybe they are able to learn their lesson without being punished. That's usually what it boils down to, or else he's not doing them a favor. If withholding the punishment makes them continue in their downward slide, then he's not doing them a favor at all. Ramchal is describing doing them a favor out of love and out of rachmim. So it must be that he feels they should be given a chance at least to better themselves without Yisurim. Okay, continue. Again, he's like the whole macro system is that he wants a person to have Bechira and he wants a person to know that Ubacharta Bachayim. Right, Reina Sati with Nechem Ayom is Achayim, there's a Tov, there's a Moviz, there's a Ra. That's the Bechira. The Bechira is really a no brainer. It's not like he's, where you pick a door, make a bet, it was like a show, and, let's make a deal. Pick door number one or door number two. Here Hashem says you can pick door number one. and go to Gan Eden, and you can pick door number two and go to Gehenna, like that. Right? So it's almost comical that Hashem says, Sachayim v'satov v'samovit v'sara, and then he has to tell us of acharta v'chayim. It's almost comical. Like, isn't that a joke? But we know it's not a joke, because we know that the enticements of the physical, of Olam Hazeh, are very alluring and Hashem is hiding from us, and it's choshech. If you could relate to it as ubacharta b'chayim, that's like wonderful. And then you say to yourself, I don't, like, what kind of a choice is that? You can have the candy bar, or you could have this rat poison. It's your choice. Right? But if the rat poison tastes like the candy bar, and sometimes the candy bar stops me from doing what I want to do, but it's long term, it's a candy bar. But right now I have to go to bed on time and I can't stay up. So that's but the Torah is telling the reality. It's like it's not door number one or number two. It's Chayim and Tov and Mavis and Ra. Ubacharta b'chayim. So if you clear away the debris and the camouflage and the smoke, then it's as simple as ubacharta b'chayim. So, v'nei biyol shiroz HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'b'chiris ha'odom b'ma'asov u'v'yosher mishpat ha'gmul l'shalem l'ish k'ma'asehu. That is right, the general just for the person who has free will and that is har and onesh. Hinei k'vayochol he points out now sort of a funny situation, an anomaly in the way we would think things would work. He says, it turns out that Hashem is, and this we learned already before in the Ramchal, Hashem is letting a person pull the strings on what's going to happen in the Bria. Right? We think, who decides what happens in the Bria? Hashem decides. Hashem determines what's going to happen, and he makes it happen, and that's it. Yeah, but there's one area in which we decide. And Hashem, so to speak, because we don't understand the omek of it, but Hashem ties himself to the person. And he says, I am going to do what you cause me to do. You do good, I'm going to give rain, right? You do bad, so then I'm going to punish you. So I am dependent on you, Hashem. In this system, of course, again, the whole picture is the Hatova of letting a person be Bocher Bachayim. And that was in the first section of the Ramchal. And this whole system, because Hashem wanted to be native, that the best Hatova is to choose. And so therefore Hashem locked himself in, so to speak, to following the cues of the person, not vice versa. When it comes to behavior things, of course, which is Tov and Ra. Shelo yetev lo v'yareh lo et kfi ma'asov. Hashem is not going to do something bad to a person unless he deserves it. Right? Everything is, it's up to us. Hashem tied himself up to us. Kivayachol. Hashem, who's kol yachol, made himself a puppet to our strings. So, of course, that's a very simplistic, childish way of putting it, the way I just did, because certainly Hashem determines the degree and when and what and if and how and when to be harsh and when to have rachamim. But in general, that's what he's doing. That's what Ramchal says. Shelo yedem lo goyerelo elok fi ma'aso. Ach be'emes, then he says, but now that I said that, we got to take a step back and say, wait a minute, let's not get carried away. Hashem is not really subjugated to any rule. Hashem, if he wanted to, so to speak, I mean, Hashem could give the wicked reward and give the tzaddik in front of it. He doesn't, but he could. Hashem is not meshubah to any system. It would even be I don't like to use the word apikrisis too freely. It would be hashkafically wrong to say that Hashem has to reward the good people and punish the bad people. That's what Ramchal seems to be saying. Hashem doesn't have to do anything. Hashem is Hashem. Now, this is very deep, because let's go back to the Ramchal's original conception of Hashem, that everything is dependent on. This is like very philosophical. You'll excuse me, I'm not such a big philosopher. But when the Ramchal starts off saying Hashem is a mativ, Hashem is tov, so, well, the kid raises his hand and says, Rebbe, does Hashem have to be tov? What's Rebbe going to answer? Hashem doesn't have to be anything. So I would try to escape that by saying that whatever Hashem is, we call tov. But it's really cheating. I mean, I'm lying to the kid. That's not really, because I don't know. I mean, Hashem shaped, we talked about this last week, Wednesday. Hashem really shaped our ideas of tov based on what he is and what he does. But the bottom line is, this is really where you see, Chabad stresses very much the word Rotza. You have a sentence, Rotza Kadosh Baruch Hu Lios Lo Dira B'Tachtonim. Hashem wanted to have that the Shechina should be Ba'aretz. So Rabbi Yoel just explained to us that I don't remember him talking about the Ramchal, but it's sort of in contradistinction to the Ramchal. Because according to Ramchal, we look at it that Hashem is Tov, and the ultimate Tov wants to be Meitiv, so he created a system in which there's someone with Bechira, because that's the ultimate Tov, and so everything, and then he had to be an Olam Hazeh, and he ate Sahara, and a Bechira, and that's all to achieve the ultimate Tov, which is Gan Eden through my Bechira. And anything less wouldn't be fully told. Ramchal is myrich in this, in the first section. It would be, has to be perfectly told. And anything less would not be perfectly told. And like Chabad, really, Tanya, Chabad, they stress that it's not really correct to say what I just said. It's only because Hashem wanted to do that. Hashem wants to be told, or we call told. Like the way the Ramchal says, this is almost Hashem, it's almost as if Hashem must be told. And that's really our conception, that Hashem must be fair, must be told, must be just, must be a tzaddik and a rachum and a chanun. But that's not, it's hashkafically wrong. Really, and that's really what Ramchal is saying in this paragraph, that Hashem is not tied to anything. Hashem can do anything. So, ultimately the sentence would be, well, can Hashem do evil? The answer is yes, but we probably wouldn't be calling it evil, because Hashem doesn't do that to people. Hashem created us that we think of Hashem as good. And if there's a alternate universe somewhere where killing people is good and worshipping Hashem is bad. I don't know. Anyway, that's Rotza. They stress the word Rotza. That you can't give a rational reason for a Rotza. That's what they like to say. So Hashem wanted to do this system. But when you say wanted, you're bumping up against something that is ultimately inexplicable and irrational and can't be explained. That's what he wanted. He can't say, why do you want, you know, what do you want for dessert? Do you want ice cream or do you want cake? I want ice cream. You know, So you can't really, there's no cheshbon there. That's what I want. And it comes really from a deeper place. It comes from a deeper place because it comes more from, like, if I have a cheshbon, you know, if I eat ice cream now, I'll get the cake later. And I'm not going to want the cake later. I'll be too full. Let me better take the cake now and the ice cream later. Should I make myself slasher so I won't be able to eat milk? I won't be able to have a cup of coffee for 6 hours. But if you just say that's what I want and you don't explain it, you can't explain it. So it really comes from a very, very, very deep place of your essence. This is what I want. So it could be, it probably is a deeper part of Hashem than if we would understand. If we would, it's not even muchrach that the Ramchal would argue with that hashkafa, because the Ramchal just is saying what Hashem wanted. You know, he wanted good, and he wanted to be good. And Chabad stresses what the Ramchal himself is saying in this paragraph. You know, nothing we're saying ties Hashem's hands. Hashem's hands are not tied by anything. Hashem is above everything. Hashem is above rationality. Hashem is above seichel. Hashem is above tov. Hashem is above everything. Okay, yeah. You still have a question, I can't believe it. Yeah.
So the actor today, Hashem, chooses to be what we perceive to be good?
Yeah.
Russell
is chooses. Yeah.
He's not good, he's choosing.
He wants to. Well, that's what, I guess, yeah. I used to think of it as once, because that's what they stress the word Russell. But I so choosing is a good word also. That's what he chooses. Chooses implies more that he was shokel to tzdodim and he chose this. I don't know if I want to give that implication. Rotzah doesn't necessarily mean I'm shokel the cake versus the ice cream and I decided on the ice cream. Rotzah could just mean I'm in the mood for ice cream. So that's why I'm not. That's a nuance of difference. But choosing is a good word. It's just there's that nuance. That, to me, when you say choose, it means there are two possibilities. And maybe there are no two possibilities. That's what he wants. Well, the only thing never existed. Okay. So that's what he says now, that we're talking about Hashem. Well, right now, maybe we're going a little too... Right now he just said that Hashem ties himself to the actions of people. That's what he remarks in the beginning of his piece. So then he says in the middle, Afemes, inhei adam baruch hu einam shemulukum chok. Let's not get carried away. Hashem doesn't have to do this. That would be avodah zarah. That would be avodah zarah. I don't like this word. You throw me. It would be a divination of Hashem's being a kol yachol, and it would be a violation of emunah. It would be a violation of the yud gimel ikrei emunah that Hashem is kol yachol. Hashem is omnipotent. So Hashem omnipotent. You know, yeah. Well, he could pick up the largest mountain. It means Hashem is above all rules and regulations and anything. If Hashem wants to impose his superiority, so to speak, he can go outside the whole system. He's not really tied to a person's actions. In a yifal v'yinak, if he ritzono, this is what he said before. Maybe Hashem wants to perform with Rachmanos. In a yifal v'yinak, if he ritzono, b'li hechrech al ikufal. Although I must say that the Bali Musar, by Bali Musar I mean Bali Hashkafa / Musar. Mr. Malio, Sifsei Chaim, Chochmo Musar, Das Chochmo Musar. They really feel, they obviously feel an imperative to explain every medrash and every gemara and every agadata and everything that Hashem does. They obviously feel an all to explain it rationally. Even if it's rachamim, he decides to forego it. So they explain that rationally as well. They don't, I don't know, this is really my, see that they want, they don't want to, you know, if you have to err and you say, well, I'm teaching Talmidim, so this is my own speculation now. Like, I'd rather err E-R-R. And have my, I'd rather err on the side of my Talmidim thinking that Hashem, you know, without maybe consciously thinking about it, but like a conception of Hashem, is that he's locked into a certain system of fairness and justness, and Tosh Shalom Ish Kama'asehu, and everything has to make sense. And the Mitzvah Melio is constantly explaining seemingly arbitrary Gemara. The Gemara says this guy jumped off a roof and a bas kol came out. He's a Ben Olam Haba, you know. And whoever was by Rebbe's funeral is a Ben Olam Haba. And really, I mean, I think of the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Chaim is somebody else Talmud. Sifrei Chaim, they like sometimes they struggle, but they you see they take it on themselves, so to speak, to explain everything, rather than have my Talmidim think that Hashem every once in a while is going to be arbitrary. Probably, right? You have to make that choice, really. I mean, we're all very, very sophisticated people who barely know what I'm talking about, because I barely know what I'm talking about. So how can you understand what I'm talking about better than I do? So the Ramchal is really saying Hashem is tied into our actions. And he just finished the whole chelik of Derech Hashem, explaining every nuance of everything, seemingly. And now he's saying, you know, I don't want to, I'm not going to break the news to you, but Hashem can do what he wants, really. So, and sometimes he does, but I don't know. So you come across Gemaras and Agadatos and Medrashim, where Hashem's like totally changes all the rules. And Taka knows what he wants, but they always explain it. They don't leave it. Like I said, I guess, you know, if you, we better we shouldn't have this subconscious feeling that Hashem could be arbitrary. It would probably result in going off the derech. I think if kids would think that Hashem is could be arbitrary, if we would stress that angle to kids, it would probably be a very, very bad decision, a very bad chinuch, because then they would feel the world is chaotic, right? That's like, you know, when you learn physics, you don't learn the uncertainty principle until you're sophisticated enough to be able to handle it, right? Einstein still never believed in it, I think, couldn't handle, so to speak, yeah, certainty principle. He insisted that even the things that appear arbitrary have a system. That was like the big machlokes, and I think by now they are pretty sure that he was wrong, except we know that he was, we don't know, you know, this Hashem, like, so there is a system. But you know, when you're learning with kids, it's very bad if kids think Hashem would be arbitrary. It would be, they would think, you know, when they think it's a chaotic world.
Whatever they want. It's all chaos anyway. So why bother? What do? If I do everything and I live my whole life and then Hashem decides to arbitrarily punish me? And you don't really find that he ever does. But so why is Ramchal saying this? Because Ramchal is being honest. He wants us to know the truth. That when he uses these words like Hashem is tied to our actions, we shouldn't, you know, he's talking the other way. We shouldn't think like Hashem didn't have to be told either. Hashem didn't have to be a maker. Hashem didn't have to do anything. He can do what he wants. So, okay. But you really, like, we don't live with the chaos, that's for sure. Chazal didn't live with the chaos, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't live with the chaos, the Gemara doesn't live with the chaos, the Shaila live with the chaos, Lusasura live with the chaos. It's all very ordered, structured universe, and it has reward and punishment. And yes, if there's ever, you know, the Ba'il spends a lot of time figuring out why Midas HaRachamim is justified. We don't like to think that way. We want to know if Hashem is giving me a headache. That's not fair. But if Hashem gives me a pleasant life, nobody thinks that's not fair. Hashem, how dare you? How could you give me a good life? I don't deserve it. You, what are you doing? You're not Baiskal. Nobody thinks like that. So that's not so it's not so pressing to explain that. So I'll get but it's only those that choose from. But these are the coming to explain Rachamim. He's coming to explain why sometimes Hashem will look, can and will just look aside. Even though the Gemara says if you say it, the Gemara uses very harsh words to describe someone that says it, that Hashem will be mafater. Very, very harsh words. I don't even want to say it over. The Gemara talks very harshly. But that means if I say it, if I base my actions on, like, to use other words, people sometimes say, Hashem will understand. I'll just do this little teeny aveira. Hashem will understand that I had to do it. I had to move the book, so yes, we're coming. I couldn't have it here. Sometimes it might be mutter to do it, by the way. But let's say it's also. Hashem will understand. Hashem will understand I spoke this piece of Lashon Hara because that's the Gemara of saying Hashem will be mafat. Yeah. Because Hashem, he doesn't understand. But he could if he wants to. But we can't live that way. But Ramchal is not writing a Shulchan Aruch here. Ramchal is delving into the reality of the whole universe, the whole system, the theory of everything. For Ulam Manogos HaMishpat, but in order that the world should work with judgment, with insolent, he is tied to the Ma'aseh B'Leyotam. Ach, Shetikzer Chachmoso, Heyos knows that it's appropriate. Avora Shurus Adim, in a Yishtamish Meir Mamuso V'Yichud Shetoso V'Yavra Al Pesha. He only says it to the good. He only says it to the good. V'Yavra Al Pesha V'Yisakin Kol Tilkul Dolchim Tolchim. Nitzuk Hashnei Mini Hashgacha. There's two pathways in the world of Hashem's judgment, Hashem's Hashgacha. Hashgacha is Bishmat Hashem Yisbarach, which is Mishpat, which is tied to, connected to our actions, to the point where Hashem sort of put the reins in our hands. And he is Kivayachal, like a puppet, Kivayachal. But then there's Vashkakos Hashlita Vahayichud. Hashlita means Hashem is ultimately the boss. Yichud means there is nothing else other than the Rasan Hashem. So, and he can do what he wants. He can choose. He can choose to do what he wants. He can will whatever he wants to will. And that's two muscle then. In one, he is tied, so to speak, to the actions of people. When Hashem swore that he wouldn't bring another mammal to the world, right? Even if there wouldn't be a Noah. Even if there wouldn't be a Noah. Noah rebuilt the world, because Noah wants to have any Hashem. The world was destroyed. It went back to the Mayim of Tohu Bavohu. And it was. So, that's what Hashem was saying. Hashem was saying, I will not destroy the world again. You have my word on that. That means even if it deserves to be destroyed. Even if because of Maisa Odom it's evil and and there would be another marble, there would be another total destruction of the world, and there might not be a Noah next time. But Hashem said, I won't do that. So that's what he's saying here. Where he could override everything. And with these two paths, he's being Mashgiach on all of his creations. Kinehu Mashgiach Bashkochas Amishpot, Lishno Tamar is called Maisa, weighing everything that's done. Good, bad, mitigating circumstances. We had before the whole chapter about prosecuting attorneys and prosecuting lawyers and lawyers for the defense and defense attorneys and malachim and judges voting this way and that way, and everything is very structured and very tied to exactly what happened and the nuances. And the Mashgiach Bashkach Sashlita, but then he's keeping an eye. You're not going to let the world, I'm just picking one example that we know is true, you're not going to let the world be destroyed if everything goes south, if everybody becomes terrible and horrible, you're not going to let the world be destroyed. So, what will he do? I don't know. Will he be Michael? Maybe he'll make sure that an Noah is born. Or, it's just he won't destroy the world anymore. There'll always be. It doesn't have to be arbitrary. I'm not talking if it's arbitrary, but it could be the arbitrariness could be in ensuring that there's enough tzaddikim in the world to keep it going through their zchuyot. He won't allow it to be destroyed anymore. Okay, let's stop here. We'll take it, I guess, week by week. Meanwhile, we'll learn on Wednesday.